Hi, you're listening to Record of Change. My name is Stephanie Rabel, and I'm your host for this episode. Record of Change features the stories of individuals from across the world about how their lives are being shaped by the COVID-19 pandemic. We listen to our interviewees at several points in time because we want to follow how their lives are changing. This season, we'll have a mixture of some new and familiar voices and stories. As usual, I'm speaking to you from Delaware in the United States, where about 30% of the population has received one dose and 16% have been fully vaccinated. Today, we'll be doing our third follow-up with Mackenzie Roller, a young gap year student who's getting some work experience before attending university this fall. Last we spoke to Mackenzie, she was concluding her time in North Carolina working with Vote.org following the U.S. election season. In 2021, however, she was supposed to be taking on her next rotation in Texas, but things didn't exactly go to plan. The impact of COVID-19 has meant that Mackenzie has needed to be especially quick on her feet, and it's taught her when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So where is she now, and how is she choosing to spend her last few months of her gap year experience? Let's find out. We last spoke before the American holiday of Thanksgiving, so it's been a little while, and I imagine a lot has happened. So I'm already privy to the information that you're not where I thought you would be, but let's do a quick recap. So the last that I remember, we had just spoken when you were about to leave your apartment. I think it was actually the same day that you were leaving your apartment. You were going to spend some time with family for the Thanksgiving holiday, and you were driving your car over to Texas?
That was the plan, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where we left off. And so I'm curious, what ended up happening?
Well, after Thanksgiving, I went to spend some time with my family. I hadn't seen them in a while, and so it was just hanging out with them. We had a house in North Carolina that we were renting. And so around mid-December, I was supposed to drive my car to Houston and then fly back home for Christmas and then fly back to Houston in January to start my internship there. But right around mid-December, COVID numbers in Houston kind of skyrocketed, and it was really not looking safe or, like, smart to be adding anything to that. Like, I didn't want to be... In terms of ethical travel and things like that during COVID, you don't necessarily want to put a bad situation potentially adding to it and making it worse. So I contacted the organization I was supposed to be working with and asked them what they thought and if they were moving online, because they're a school type setting. It's not actually a school, but they work with students. And I was asking them, like, are you moving online? What do you see happening in the near future? They weren't really sure, but they were like, we think the best call for you is to move online and just do like a remote internship and support us from Connecticut or wherever you are. And so I didn't end up driving my car to Houston. And then on things with that internship just ended up falling through for a couple of different reasons. And so I ended up back home in Connecticut for Christmas with no plans, which was so, like, not what was intended or expected, and not who I am either to not have a plan. And so that was a really big, like, all right, what do I do? And I was questioning a lot about, like, am I wasting time in my gap year if I'm not doing something like an internship or living somewhere new or exploring a new place? Is this like, am I wasting a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity right now by being home? And I was really struggling with that because I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have an internship lined up, and I was really trying to figure it out. Like, I started looking up going to Portland, Oregon, but wasn't going to be able to find, like, affordable housing, and, like, I didn't end up going. And so then I ended up home trying to figure it out. I took some time with friends, which was awesome. Like, I went skiing a bunch. I saw my boyfriend. I saw my friends that had been at college. And so that was really nice. Like, I got to reconnect with some friends from home and family that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. So that was a really nice kind of benefit, I guess, of the change. And then I also ended up picking up a job at home in my local town in Avon, Connecticut, with a cafe, which is an inclusive workspace environment that hires people with and without intellectual disabilities, and I have absolutely loved that. So that's like a coffee shop cafe type setup, and I work there part-time and have absolutely loved that. Not exactly what I expected, but it's been a really cool way to get involved in community in my town that I wasn't connected with before, and to be working in person again, which is so cool. And, like, there are things about that I definitely missed and have really enjoyed. And now I'm about to go to Hawaii on Thursday. In the time that I was home, I ended up figuring out there's an organization called WOOFing, which stands for like Worldwide Organization of Organic Farmers, where you go do a work exchange program on the farm. And so you're helping support them, and in exchange, you get room and board. So I'll be in Hawaii for the next 3 months working on a farm and doing some remote work that I'm still doing right now. Because I also, the other piece of my spring plan is running an online course with my high school that I went to. And so I'll be working on that too. So that's a summary of like how I was supposed to be driving to Houston in December, and none of that ended up happening, but where I'm at now. So, yeah.
So when you think back to what could have been in Texas and what ended up unfolding, do you have a preference? Are you happy with how things have shaped up?
Yeah, I'm definitely happy with how things shaped up. I don't think I would have preferred one over the other. Like, I think both had their positives and negatives. Like, the internship that I was going to be doing in Houston was with a really meaningful program, doing some really meaningful work that I was definitely excited and interested in. And it was a space of social change that I hadn't really touched yet. And I was really excited to get some firsthand experience there and to be living in a new place and things like that. But I also ended up having some really awesome experiences in my hometown and with friends and family that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And so I think there were pros and cons to both. And it's just about making like the best of the situation that you're with. Like, I would have been in Houston for this power outage and the freezing temperatures that they just had and had to deal with. And on top of the COVID, numbers haven't been great in Texas. So like, there are also things I avoided by not being in Texas just out of coincidence. So I don't know. I think they were two completely different experiences, and I think both had their pros and cons, and I would have been happy in both, and I'm lucky that I had the opportunities that I did in my hometown to be able to get involved here in a meaningful way while I was home too. So
yeah, it must have been really interesting to see your friends during this time, especially because you were saying a lot of them have gone directly on to college and they were coming back for a break period. What was that like to have people that you were in the same year with and then to compare your journeys? Maybe it's somewhat atypical here in the States to do a gap year. I think that this year was the year that probably shifted that there are a handful of people that have opted to take a gap year for various reasons.
Yeah, I think I've been really grateful to take a gap year, especially when I hear about the stories of my friends at school. Like, I miss school. I absolutely love school. Like, I love learning. I love being in the classroom. And like, I love school. But I also, when you hear about what freshman years have looked like at school this year because of COVID, I've been really lucky to have the experiences that I've had. Like, I've gotten some really cool internship and real, like, firsthand experience with some really awesome organizations and social change movements and groups of people and connections and relationships and being in a new place. Like, those are all really valuable and really special life experiences to be having, especially during COVID when most people aren't traveling anywhere, aren't meeting too many new people because it's been hard. Like, my friends at school that actually are in person at school, it's pretty regulated about what you can do and who you can see and when you can go out places because they're trying to avoid COVID outbreaks on college campuses. And so I know that that's been hard, like having hybrid classes that are online some days and in person other days. It makes it hard to meet friends. It makes it hard to keep up with your work. It makes it hard to just like feel like you have any type of routine. And so I know that that's been really difficult for some of my friends. And then I have another friend who was supposed to be going to school in California, but she never went. And so she's been working remotely all year. And she's in her room all the time doing schoolwork. And that's it. And I am really grateful that that's not been the experience that I've had, that this year I've been able to, like, I've had the resources and opportunities to be in a new place doing some really important work and meeting new people, because that would have been really hard at college this year.
If I'm not mistaken, in the Northeast, it seems like Connecticut's doing a really good job with the vaccination.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago, the governor in Connecticut released a new plan around vaccinations and the vaccination schedule. I think it had to do with like healthcare workers and essential workers first, but then they shifted to a plan where it's age-based only. So the first round of vaccines went out to like, I think it was 75 and over, and then 65 and over, and now it's 55 and over. My parents are in the 45 and over category, and they'll be vaccinated at the end of March. My sister and I, so she's 16, I'm 18, almost 19, we'll get the vaccination by May 3rd, I think is the plan right now, which is really early. Like, we're the last category to go. And so Connecticut's been doing a pretty good job of efficiently rolling out the vaccine. So I work at the coffee shop, and the majority of our like consistent customers that come in while I'm working on a weekday and stuff are generally in the older population of like people who are retired or just coming in for lunch that are working and things like that. And it's been really cool to see people get so excited about the fact that I got my second vaccination today. And so like the majority of our customers are vaccinated now, which is really cool and makes working feel more safe. And like, I'm not going to get them sick and things like that, that working in person can feel a little bit stressful because of that. But the energy around the vaccinations in that immediate community has been really cool. I also know that that's not true across the country and that we don't have a huge number or huge percentage of the population. I wish the percentage of the population getting vaccinated was bigger. I'll just leave it at that. Because people in the U.S. sometimes question it. So Connecticut's been doing a good job, and my immediate community is really excited about the fact that the vaccines are available and that people have them and that they can feel safe going out again. Like, there are grandparents that are like, this is my first time coming out in like months, and I'm so excited to be out in the community again. And so that energy is really cool.
And how are your parents feeling about it? They're really close at this point. They're just weeks away.
I think they're excited. They are both teachers, and so they've been in pretty safe environments in terms of whether or not they're remote or in person, but with masks and social distance and with a community that's being tested. So they've been lucky in terms of their work situation and feeling safe with work, but I think they're really excited. And like, my grandparents are coming tomorrow night because it's my birthday soon and I'm leaving. And I haven't seen them since like June when we sat outside on a porch, just like separated from each other. So that'll be really nice to see them again because they got vaccinated. They're in Massachusetts, and they got vaccinated and are starting to slowly get back out into the community again. So things like that are really exciting. And my parents are excited, but I'm really excited to see my grandparents, and they're definitely in the higher risk category. So that's exciting that they are safer now.
It's interesting because I feel as though there might be this transition for people, especially ones that have been very conservative with their activities. Do you think they'll have an adjustment period of coming back into the real world?
Absolutely. And I think that's going to happen everywhere. Like, how do people adjust to what it means for people to be vaccinated? Because even though people are vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask right now. You still have to be smart about what you're doing. It's not that COVID's gone. It's just that there's maybe some reduced risk about the, we don't even really know, but there's some kind of reduced risk, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's still an adjustment period of like, how's this going to work? Like, how far is everyone going to go in terms of like back to quote unquote normal life? And I think it'll take my grandparents' time for sure to feel totally comfortable and safe going out. I think that's going to take time to see just what happens. But I don't know, even at work, like people are changing the way that they, like there's less space between people. A couple people have walked in without masks and been like, oops, and like turned around and walked out. Like that's been happening more frequently. It's going to be different for every person. If you've been more conservative taking your time versus the people who are like, all right, back to normal, like all in. And I think that's going to be really hard for the people who have been conservative about COVID, like figuring out what the risk versus reward calculation is going to be until there's a little bit more data and knowledge around what the vaccine really is capable of, I think. Yeah.
So you're actually going to Hawaii. How did you come up with all of that? I mean, how did that unfold? Are your friends jealous of you? What's happening?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, you're traveling to Hawaii. I think a lot of people are like, planes, like, whoa, and like going somewhere new. That's crazy. So I think there's a lot of that. I think people miss travel. I think people get excited by the idea of being somewhere new because most people are stuck in one room for the majority of the day.
Yeah. Exhibit A. Like way too long. Yeah.
Yeah. So where it came from, though, is originally my gap year was supposed to be international, and I was really excited to get to see some really new places outside of the U.S. because, like, how many times in my life am I going to have the opportunity to really do that? Traveling around the U.S. is much easier than planning an international trip and whatever that you would have the time and resources to potentially do on a gap year. And so originally I was going to try to go to, like, the Galapagos at this point in my gap year because I absolutely love the ocean. I love, like, sea creatures. Like, sea turtles are my favorite animal ever. I've never seen one in the wild. Like, my plan for my gap year was I'm going to spend the first, basically, 6 months doing some really meaningful work, doing some things with social change and social justice work that I know need to happen, and dedicate my time and energy to that, and then spend some time exploring my passion and excitement around the ocean and, like, environment and nature and, like, that side of my passions that I haven't necessarily given as much time to recently. And so when my program decided that we couldn't go international and options started to get more limited, like, lots of things aren't even in person if I wanted to try to go somewhere to work on some kind of environmental conservation thing, because that's what I was going to try to do, but most things aren't in person. So I was like, what am I going to do? And a couple other students in my gap year program were doing this woofing thing, where you spend some time doing a work exchange program on a farm, and it's a more affordable way to travel, but also you have a community, you have a goal that you're working towards. I wanted to learn more about sustainable living and, like, agriculture and what it means to grow food. Like, food has always been an important part of my life, and to know that other side of it, like, that's not necessarily what I'm interested in doing my whole life, but it's definitely something that I was, like, excited to learn about. And so I started following down that path, and I was like, Hawaii would be an incredible place to go because I had to stay domestic and I wanted to be on an island somewhere to be able to see the ocean.
Which really narrows it down a little.
Right, Hawaii or, like, Southern California could have been kind of close, or, like, and Hawaii's also been doing really good in terms of COVID, and there are a lot of...
Yeah, they have.
Like, I'm going to get a COVID test later today, actually, before I get on a plane, and then I'm quarantining for 2 weeks when I get there to make sure that I'm not going to be someone that brings COVID to Hawaii, because I didn't want to be a traveler that was going to negatively impact the COVID situation there. So when I found out that I had access and resources to things to make the travel safe and responsible, and that I was going to be basically have this opportunity to affordably travel to Hawaii and contribute to a community and get to meet new people, I was like, this sounds perfect.
When you think about people your own age and how they've been going through, say, the college experience, or how they've been navigating the world, what are your feelings towards your peer group in terms of how they've been either operating through COVID or how they are operating within the world? Because I, as someone who's very socially conscious, environmentally conscious, wanting to constantly improve, do you have any thoughts on your peer group overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been hard. I think making the, like, quote-unquote harder decision every time to, like, stay in or to not go see that person or to not visit your friend or to not travel to that house for a party or whatever it might be, like, to make that decision over and over again is, I think, it takes a lot, especially when you're trying to meet people and you're feeling alone at a college where you don't know anyone. I think it's been really weird for people and really hard. I think it's tiring to be alone. Like, I think it's just a lot about navigating change and making some bigger decisions. Like, your decisions could impact whether or not someone lives or dies during this. And that's a lot to carry when it also feels like, well, I'm alone. I don't know anyone. And I, like, don't have a community, because those are also feelings that are really hard. And
yeah,
when you're among peers, it's like, well, they're not in the high risk category. Like, it's weighing all of these really big things, and we're like 18 and 19 and just trying to figure it out. I think that's just tiring, and I think it's just a lot to handle that isn't normally there. And I also think that we're adjusting to change constantly, all the time, not just, like, at these transition moments. I think we're adjusting to change or facing change in a way that maybe other generations have it. I mean, I think for us, I think it's a lot of accepting you don't know what's coming. And I think that's a really big life lesson in general, too, like, to be able to just go with the flow. In school, you're not taught to do that. We're not taught to change things on the fly and to be willing to just, like, figure it out as it comes. So I think that's been an adjustment. I think people are just tired and done with it. I also think people have found communities that are willing to support them in whatever they need, like, because they understand everyone's going through something more than you can see, even though that's always been true. But now there's this collective understanding that that is happening for everyone because of COVID. I'll be interested to see if that continues on. But yeah, in terms of my generation, I think it's just facing constant change, really hard decisions, or really big decisions, not necessarily hard, but just, like, seemingly big decisions on a regular basis that we aren't used to at this point, but are learning a lot from, I think. Yeah.
So the first time we spoke with you was in September, right as you were kind of starting this journey of your gap year. What do you wish you knew then? Is there anything that you would have either done differently, thought differently?
I think the only thing is like really accepting that every change or every unexpected event is just an opportunity to learn and grow. I think until pretty recently, like if I'm not doing something new or not making some kind of really big impact or learning something, like I'm wasting this year. I'm wasting an opportunity that I'm never going to have again in my life. And that put a lot of pressure on some decisions. And like, I don't know, that was a lot of pressure and stress that was not needed. Like every single opportunity that you have is a chance to learn. And all of this uncertainty and all of these changes that everyone's facing because of COVID, like all of that, you grow and learn from every single change and every single experience that you have in your life. And so I don't think that makes, like, working at the coffee shop doesn't make it better or worse than working at the place in Houston, and understanding that they're different, but you're going to learn and grow as a person no matter what. And that's what the gap year is for. Just like understanding, learning more about yourself, growing where you can, and taking on new opportunities and changes as they come. I did a panel for the finalists for the gap year this weekend, and someone asked, like, what do you do with the uncertainty? And I was like, well, your plan should just be that there is going to be uncertainty, and just know it and just accept it. And in those moments of change, that's when you're going to grow the most anyways. And so I think that's the only thing that I wish I had known going into it, and just put less pressure on trying to make the most out of my gap year, or like use this once in a lifetime opportunity to like do these things and feel like I'm never going to have the opportunity to do again, which isn't true either. But yeah.
It's super interesting because I do feel like we often want a sense of control. And I think that's all what we're craving right now. We're craving a sense of control, wanting to feel like we have some sense of agency in what we do. And I think it's very natural for us to kind of now be at a point where that's been shaken out of us a little bit, that we appreciate the things that we can control, even if they're minor. Even just our own mindset, how we approach things, I do feel like our appreciation for things, the bar is much lower than I think it has been in the past.
I think that's allowed people to also focus on the control they have over themselves, like self-care and how to foster relationships and things like that, that we didn't necessarily value before because we were focused on controlling like career or academics or like these external things that honestly, like, we don't have control over that right now, but we will always have control over how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. And I think that's coming to the forefront too because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I talked about this a few times recently with a couple different groups I've been a part of, but just the things I missed from working in person that I didn't even notice that I was missing. Because I have been working remotely since basically March last year. Like, it's been almost a year exactly since my school closed down, which is, that's so weird. It's probably almost exactly a year since my school moved online. So I was doing some in-person work in Wilmington in terms of like working with the community leaders and stuff that I was doing there, but it wasn't like consistent work. It was more like showing up with the community and friends and things like that. In Wilmington, it wasn't necessarily working in person, but now I'm working in a cafe. And there's just these little things about like the small talk that happens as like someone's waiting for their coffee, or like seeing someone you know and like doing the quick, slightly awkward, but like catch up conversation that happens, like, oh, I know you, like, how are you doing, kind of thing, that you miss. Like, that's a sense of community and like connection that you don't get when you're working remotely. And the other big thing is that like when you're working remotely, every single time that you talk to someone, there's some kind of motivation behind or end goal. Like, there's some kind of intentionality behind why you're connecting, because you have to plan a time to connect. You have to plan how much time you're going to be connecting for. And usually there's some name for the meeting. And I hadn't realized how normalized that had gotten for me, to the point where like these casual conversations and these casual interactions with people at work, it's just like, huh, I miss this, where I'm not trying to squeeze things in before the end of time, or I'm avoiding saying things because I know that's not the point of this meeting. Like, those casual interactions that we just don't have when you're working remotely, I hadn't necessarily noticed until I started working in person again. And just, like, seeing smiles over masks and things like that. Like, that's been super interesting. Like, you can tell when someone's smiling because of their eyes. Yeah, just the casual interactions that we don't get when we're working remotely and everything's intentional that you get when you're back in person is super interesting and isn't something I had noticed until I had it back again.
That's super interesting. Literally at work, there used to be a water cooler that was right in front of our kitchen area. And that was a place that if you stood around there, people would just have these intersections.
Right.
As you were saying, on Zoom, you're very intentional of who you're meeting with, what the agenda is, why you're meeting, etc. And it is something that I absolutely miss because I haven't gone back in person. So I've been online since March as well. I look forward to the occasion. I think there's kind of like this novelty, right? Where when this happened, I was like, oh, I can be so productive because I'm no longer being interrupted or I can continuously work. And now you're just like, please let there be humanity in what I do. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of beauty to that.
There's a lot more smiling and jokes happening and like much more of like a family feel among coworkers. Like you're always supporting each other, always asking questions, always like helping out where you can. And it's just a completely different work environment than what I've ever been in because of the trust and the support and understanding among all of the staff. There's so much laughing and smiling and jokes and whatever that happened there. And it creates a better work environment for everyone. So that's been a really cool experience.
Are you journaling about all of this? Are you writing a book about your experiences? Like, what are you doing with all of these lessons learned? There are a lot of things that you're experiencing as an 18, almost 19-year-old, but you're experiencing all these things so young. Are you finding any way to record this in some way? Well, apart from podcast right now.
There's this app called Second a Day where you can take a video 1 second every day. And so I have a second from every day of my gap year, which is pretty cool because it brings me back through a lot of different memories and like emotions and things like that. That's been really cool to have. I think that's been, even though it's not physical reflections, when I watch it, it brings up memories and things. And I'm so grateful that I have the second a day. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I am not someone that usually does things like that. Like, it just doesn't seem exciting to me. I'm not a big video person, whatever. But I'm so grateful that I have some kind of daily journal reflection point that's like a second from every day of my gap year. And that I'll get to hold on to. And then I have pictures of friends, locations, family that I wouldn't have had if I wasn't trying to get a second every day. So that's a start. I need to do it more intentionally. Like on my 10-hour flight to Hawaii, I'm actually planning on trying to journal and get some thoughts down and like really spend some time thinking. And while I'm in Hawaii with some extra time, like reading and writing. But a lot of it comes out through talking to other people, but I need to have a way to document it. So I'm working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Best of luck in Hawaii, and I'm really looking forward to hearing how things go. Cool. Thank you, Mackenzie. It's been so much fun talking with you.
Thank you so much. I love these conversations. It gives me time to reflect and on top of sharing these stories with you. So thank you.
This was episode 2 of our 4th season with Mackenzie Roller from the United States. Stay tuned for the following episode of Record of Change when we'll hear again from Dat, a pilot based in Vietnam. If you like this episode, or Record of Change in general, we would love to hear your feedback, and even more so if you'd like to share it with your networks. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider, or on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website Record of Change. If you like supporting independent podcasts, we would be honored for you to support our efforts to bring you unique stories from across the world through being a Patreon supporter. For those supporting us on Patreon, you'll have unique opportunities and access, getting early access to episodes, bonus behind-the-scenes insights from the Record of Change team, and the opportunity to pitch questions for our interviewees, alongside us helping us make the show. Even the smallest level of support can be a great boost as we strive to document the impact of COVID-19 on communities throughout the world. This podcast is implemented with and by the members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and his partners. Thank you for listening.